With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Tuesday, March 12th, and we are here trying to help you make better, different, more considered financial decisions. If you've got a question, just go to our website, jillonmoney.com. And while you're there, upper right-hand corner, you'll see there's a Contact Us button. It's very easy. You click on that button, you complete a form. Now, if you'd like to join us on the air via audio, check that box. If you would like to join us via video, check that box. Isn't that easy? It's also the place, that website, jillonmoney.com, where you will see lots of our other content. So what do we have? We've got the wonderful and exciting Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. That's our YouTube show. You know, it's funny. We've been just having a blast doing it. And it's great because Mark doesn't have to do anything except be the co-host, and he's great at that. You'll also see that we've got Jill on Money Live, and our next webinar is coming up next week. So for $35, I'll tell you what, you should pay $35 to see our next guest, because it's Cal Newport. And you'll get four webinars, not just Cal, but you'll get four webinars for $35. A lot of cool bonus content. We had video chats with Kathy Jones, the bond expert. We've talked to Scott Rick. He's got a book out about tightwads and spendthrifts. Got a lot of stuff. So the webinar itself is going to be with Cal, and Cal Newport is a best-selling author. He's a productivity expert, and his new book is great, and I'm really digging into it. So if you'd like to join us, make sure you join Jill on Money Live. Yay! Okay, today, exciting news, because Mark and I both squealed when we found out where our listener Penelope is from. Penelope is on the line from London. Hello, Penelope. I feel like I just want to like break open a scone right now to talk to you. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for asking.
Do you love London?
I do love London.
It's so great.
It's almost as good as New York.
You think so? I mean, listen, there's a lot of wonderful things about London. I have a few like nitpicks. So what is the thing that you miss living in London about the States?
I miss stores being open 24 hours a day.
Oh, right. Isn't that strange? Like you can get anything you want when you live in New York, at least, that like you could basically get whatever you want, whenever you want it, right?
Yes. No.
No. Mark's favorite coffee is from London. And Mark, do you want to put a plug in for your coffee?
Monmouth
yeah. In Borough Hall.
Borough Market. Really yeah. Good. Yeah.
That's good stuff. When I was there, oddly enough, you would think this is crazy, but everyone loves the tube. I think the tube sucks. Because
are you crazy?
Yeah, the tube sucks.
No, you are so wrong about that. Yeah. Compared to New York City, the tube like blows it out of the water.
Okay, you're wrong, and there are no express trains. There's no such thing as an express train in the London subway system. Number two, yes, I love the Jubilee line. It's brand new. That's great. But those disgusting cloth-covered cars that are like on the Circle line, the District line, that's nasty. That's nasty. I find that like those wildly deep stations where you have to go up four escalators, like you're changing at Tower Hill or something, you want to kill yourself. Like it takes forever to just get upstairs. So what about you, Penelope? What do you think about the subway?
Jill, when you come again, you have to take the new Elizabeth line.
I know. I like that. I know that Jubilee and the Elizabeth. Yes, but that's
express. And it is wonderful. It is very, very deep under the ground, but it is an engineering marvel. I prefer the tube in London to the subway in New York every day of the week.
Okay.
They tell you when the trains are coming. They come more frequently. There are other issues with the New York City subways, but obviously the tube is a much
all right. I'm going to let Penelope and Mark win. I'm going to say that Penelope and Mark will win this. I will concede and have my opinions to myself. But I agree that Elizabeth line's gorgeous. And the Jubilee line is good. But I mean, you get stuck on that District line, you're going to kill yourself. I'm telling you right now. Because I had to commute from Canary Wharf all the way to the CBS bureau. Where was that bureau, Mark? In
Chiswick.
Oh, it was like an hour and 15 minutes. That's when I started listening to Serial in 20. What year was that? 2014.
No, that's too long. Yeah, the real Londoners would take the overground for that. There's no.
I
way
mean,
to
but the DLR owned does not. Yeah, but it doesn't take you that direction. That's the problem. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I love city airports. So there's my other thing. Penelope, it's been a delight talking to you. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Now, what can we do for you?
So I was calling because my parents have an annuity. Mm. They're in their 80s, and it's a fixed. I think, and I might get the nomenclature wrong, I think it's a fixed term annuity. So there's a date on which they can get all their money back plus the interest. Mm. And I think the person they bought it from probably would want them to roll it into another annuity and then the taxes get deferred.
Yeah.
I was wondering what other options there might be because.
Yeah. You're not like, I'm not doing that again is what you're saying.
I think that having the money wrapped up for 5 years is a really long time. And, you know, they happen to have purchased this annuity when interest rates were low. And obviously now interest rates are high. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, you could just, you know, you get stuck in this product for a really long period of time. I don't see the upside.
What? Tell me about your parents. How are they surviving in terms of income? Do they collect Social Security or pensions?
They have both Social Security and pensions, and they don't need this money.
Oh, yet. So that supports them. Okay. How much money is in the annuity?
They in the one coming due soon, $500,000.
Wow. What else do they have in their financial lives besides this $500,000 that's coming due?
They also have a brokerage account. Mm-hmm. They have...
How much is in there?
I don't know, maybe 300,000.
Look at you, man, 300. Very nonchalant of you. Okay.
And they probably, they have cash, I'm sure, probably another 100, 200,000. Mm-hmm. And then they have real estate.
Like what? Rental or primary?
Yeah, they have rental. They have rental real estate.
What do you, and that's creating income also.
So that's creating income. And that's one of the big issues is because if their income goes over $150,000, they can't take the losses on their rental income.
Oh.
So that's one of the reasons they don't like to get more income.
I got you.
Or realize income. You understand?
Right.
That's why they, one of the tax deferring aspects of it is very favorable to them because then they can keep their income under $150,000.
Okay. All right. That's not the worst thing in the world. Now, let me ask you another question. They're in their 80s. Are they completely self-sufficient, living on their own? Do they need help? Like, what else is going on?
I think that they're going to need help. Yeah, they're going to need help. Mm-hmm. But at this point, they get by with people in the family helping them.
Okay. And you are not, so you're calling on their behalf. You have siblings?
I do.
And are they in good shape? Like what's the, give me a little bit of like the broad brush about them.
Oh, the broad brush is, I think everybody's in good shape. My parents would like to perhaps give money or buy property for some grandchildren.
Oh my.
Jeez. Yeah. So the children, they don't need to worry about.
Okay.
So they're thinking to the grandchildren, because it's that generation. I don't know what it is. Generation Z. I don't know.
That they'll never be able to buy a house.
That can't buy houses. Mm-hmm. And so I think in their dreams, if they could, you know, give people down payments, buy houses, that's what they would probably want to do with the money.
Okay. So they're really not using any of this money because their Social Security, the pensions, and the rental income all float their lifestyle. They might need to dig into some of this money coming in the next group of years just because they're getting older and might need some help. But other than that, it sounds like they're in very good financial shape, right?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
So is there an agent with whom your parents have been dealing on this annuity product?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that I might ask this person is because now you, it's funny, there's like a little wrinkle because of the idea around their taxation. So The interesting part of that is that, like, if they really do want to continue to defer their income, I would ask the agent, well, we think, and I think you have to frame it this way, we think we might need this money. Because they're going to, don't tell them about the brokerage account. Hopefully they don't know about that. But
they do.
Oh, all right. But then, we're very, like, we think we're going to need some of this money. We want to give some of this money away. We're worried about tying up this money in another product, another fixed term annuity. So there's a couple of choices. One is you could say, hey, what's the shortest term we could do? The other is, could we annuitize this contract that's coming due? Meaning just get a fixed income and then keep getting that fixed amount and keeping, you know, in other words, trying to keep the annuitization schedule to an amount that will keep them under that $150,000. I don't know if you're going to be able to, because I don't know how much other income they have, but at least it's worth considering. And then I guess the last question would be, could your parents swallow having 1 year where they don't get to have a deduction on that rental income? We just don't get it. You pull the money out of this annuity contract. You pay the tax that's due. It's going to hurt. They're going to hate it. But you have the access to the money. Do you think you can sell them on that? Because there is an actual estate planning benefit to doing that.
Which is?
Well, they pay the tax on behalf of the heirs. Because if you guys inherit the annuity, it's going to be taxed at your, whatever your tax bracket is at the time. So one way you could just say is like, hey, one easy thing to do would be, mom and dad, is that we think about you guys paying this tax on behalf of the heirs, the kids and the grandkids. And then you also have this money available to you where you can gift. You don't want them to gift out of the brokerage account necessarily, because that would like sop up all their liquidity. But if there were 800,000, let's pretend it's not 800. If there were 700,000 in that account, because we've taken the annuity out, we've paid the tax that's due, and then we can start with a real methodical gifting strategy, that might be something that your parents might sign on to. It's just hard to make that case if they're going to be so hyper-focused at that $150,000. You have to kind of say, well, okay, you can do that $150,000 thing. We're going to tie this money up again, but you don't have the money then to gift to the grandkids. If you want that money, there's two things that can happen. You can pay the tax that's due. They'll be like, yeah, sure, we would like to do that because we're magnanimous. And you can say, then we have this chunk of money, and now we can really talk about a strategy, not an ad hoc strategy, a real strategy. How many grandchildren are there?
Six.
Are they all like now grown-ish?
Half are grown, half are not grown.
I mean, are your parents the types who are like, everything's equal, that's the deal?
No.
Oh, I love that.
No, I don't think it's that, but I will, sorry to just bring up another wrinkle.
Do it.
What happened before when their income went up is that they had to pay Irma.
I know. They're going to cry
Irma
about
made,
it.
Made them crazy.
I know.
It made them really crazy. So, you know, between that and the rental income deduction, I feel that that's like, you know,
that's a bridge too far.
I don't know what the sum is, but it ends up being like $25,000, $50,000 that they're
not going to deal with it. The Irma,
it's too much money.
We just interviewed Ed Slott this week. The Irma thing, he even talked about it because people go completely bananas. Irma, the total part of Irma, by the way, that they would have to pay is an extra $6,000. But they doesn't matter. It'll drive them crazy. It'll just drive them absolutely nuts. I know. It's bad. Batty. So let's think about that. So what are our options? I think we have to work with the actual agent and explain the situation and say, look, we're really worried about this. We might need access to the money. My parents might need more care. You know, what can we do? Is there a way to just do an annuity that's 1 year or 2 years, or should we annuitize it? Should we take a little bit of money out? You know, once it comes due, if you have that money just sitting, it'll basically be in a money market account inside of an annuity still. Can you just pull money out at and make sure that you stay in a tax bracket that's reasonable to them. And so, I mean, what's the Social Security and pension amount plus the rental income, and then that leaves some little bit of money. And then maybe you take just as much out as you need up until 150. And that's it. And that's what you're stuck with. And you keep the money liquid. Or what is the shortest term annuity that we could go into for, because I think it's 5 years. I don't think that there's a shorter term, but maybe there is. We need answers from the folks on the ground, because it's just giving your parents total freak out about having too much money come out doesn't give us a ton of options.
Thank you for being honest with me, because I hope that I wasn't reading this the wrong way.
No.
And I think that you know people who really don't like paying taxes. And
I know.
I would put my parents in that category. They rather have the money locked up.
Okay.
And even though they understand, and I understood, and you know, one of my siblings is definitely, you know, highest rate taxpayer that mm-hmm. you could be. I'm like, if she gets the money, she's going to be paying so much more tax than anybody that you can imagine. You know, it makes absolutely no sense for her to get this money eventually. But I think that it feels that they're already on this train, and I feel that they probably may not get off it.
All right. Well, so be it. You know what?
Yeah.
Honestly, so that is what it is. So the last question I have is, have they done their estate planning?
No.
Okay. Now let's talk about what you can actually do and really like hustle with them. You are going to put in like the fear of God about their estate planning, because what you're going to say is you have no idea, mom and dad, how bad this is going to be if you guys don't get some documents in place, because we don't know where the house is going to go. And if you don't want to treat every single, all of us exactly equally, or you want to make specific gifts to some of the grandkids or bequests, you better put that down on paper. Also, by the way, do you want us to pull the plug or not? Those are the big questions. We got to get them doing their planning.
I'm just going to ask one little question, because I know that this is something you talk about all the time. I mean, so I'm going to call them superstitious. Like, you know,
I don't want to talk about it.
I know we have talked about it because we've had other estates in the family that have, you know, taken up a lot of time, litigation. You know, we're like, you know, the only person who gets rich in this is the lawyer.
Yep.
And they don't seem to care.
Well, I mean, you got to try one, like a little bit, maybe we'll play this back for them. What you have to try to appeal to them in having the conversation is just to say, don't you want your wishes known? All we want to do is honor your wishes. You have to let us know. I think how do they respond to guilt?
Not very much.
Oh God. They're not Jewish parents. They're not Italian parents.
No.
What happened here?
Indeed. What they say is like, well, you know, the state has rules for who gets our money, and I'm okay with what the state says.
Okay. I mean, what am I going to do about that?
I think I know why Penelope is living in London.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot going on here. We won't dive into that, Penelope. You know what? If you've tried, you've given it your best effort. You know, if they know how bad it can be, and by the way, it's someone's hot mess to clean up. Penelope, do not be the executor. Do not be the executor. I'm telling you right now, it's a pain in the ass.
But who you have to? Let somebody
in the U.S. do it. Whoever lives in their state, wherever they live, like their state of residence, they have to do it. You cannot do it from abroad. It's a pain in the ass.
Okay.
Don't do it. Just like take yourself off, get your rich sister who's, you know, in the high tax bracket, let her do it. She's going to pull her hair out of her head. Just telling you that right now. I don't know. Penelope's parents. Come on now. It's very, you know, I have to say, you know, I wrote this in my book, in my first book. I feel like not doing estate planning is kind of selfish. Not that I'm calling your parents selfish. I said they're acting selfishly, because it is a pain in the neck to deal with this on the other end. But, you know, they are who they are, and they're going to buy that goddamn annuity, and they're going to have no estate documents. And so poo to that. By the way, if you can ask them one thing about that brokerage account, just because it could be easier, is to see if that brokerage account can be labeled as a transfer on death account.
Okay, will do.
That's one little extra thing you can do. Give it
Thank you very much. That's a good point.
All right, one thing they'll do, Mark. Okay, Penelope, go get your coffee, have your scone, have your clotted cream, have a nice ride on your tube. And thank you so much for getting in touch with us. Hey, are you dealing with somewhat stubborn parents? I don't know if we've got Penelope any better information except to maybe reinforce that there's not much more she can do. But if you're dealing with an adult parent who needs a little nudge, bring the parent on the show with us. That would be great. I'd love to have Penelope's parents with us. Go to JillOnMoney.com, click the contact us button, let us know if you will join us. Don't forget you can subscribe to this program on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. And put your hands on someone's back today. It'll be very nice, either physically, metaphorically, however it works for you. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.